Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
What we're doing now is we're finishing up this series of four lessons, and the title is Discipleship Essentials. What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? And Randy so just beautifully brought us to the Lordship of Jesus. First of all, that we make him Lord of our lives. And we're going to briefly touch on all these things as we tie this all together. That's what I'm going to do today. Then Hillary taught us how to treasure God's word, how to hide it in our hearts and the importance of it. Do you guys like that I just jumped right in? Yeah, you're okay? Usually there's like a little lull, but I just jumped right in. I'm cognizant of the time, people. And last week, I really kind of free-formed, even though I had notes and all my scriptures, the power of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, with a highlight on not the only, it's the one I highlighted out of nine, but the gift of spiritual language or the gift of speaking in tongues. And I would encourage you, if that's new to you and you weren't there last week, that you go back to maybe the Facebook page or YouTube and just watch that short sermon. But today we're tying it all together because that's how easy it is to be a disciple of Jesus. We make him Lord. And as we do, we start to realize this book is a treasure chest that we will never get to the bottom of. That it is jewels and treasures for our life, that God actually breathes his life through it. It's a living book, Hebrews 4 says. And that he speaks to us directly not only into the way of salvation and who he is and who we are in him, but that it actually speaks currently into our lives. And that is all the more enhanced and accelerated by the fullness of the Spirit when we let the Holy Spirit overflow our lives, right? And that's the third person of the Trinity. But today we're going to do something a little different. And like I said last week, I kind of free-formed through. You guys were very patient with me. But today I'm going to read quite a bit of what I'm going to share. But most of all, my prayer is that the Lord will speak to you. And we're going to open you. Everybody on their chair should have received a copy of a portion of the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Oops, sorry, I got to grab this. Now, everyone, you got your paper? You're going to need it. You're also going to need a pen. And if you do not have one, my handsome stud muffin husband will hand out pens to you. And please forgive my coffee cup up here. Randy and I are wearing our masks today because we think our four-year-old twin granddaughters may have given us a little cold, and that's why, so just in case I get a little dry throat up there. Most everybody getting their pens. Now, I'm going to do online, people, obviously you don't have the paper, but would you turn in your Bibles to John 15? Whether you use your phone or a manual Bible, John chapter 15, one of the most treasured of all the passages of the New Testament. And I'm sorry, because of time, it's a long chapter. I pick and chose verses out of it. Now, that's not how you should read your Bible. You should read it in the context of the before and after and everything in between. But I prayed over because we just have limited time and limited paper, what we should be looking at. And what I'm going to have you walk through me with in the next few minutes, and I'm going to pray over each of us, and myself included, we're going to participate in an old, centuries-old practice of Christianity called Lectio Divina. And I believe that means God's word, God's light on his word. And what it is where you take a portion of scripture and you read it very slowly. But you read it not just to study, and you read it not to gain more knowledge. You are reading to hear the voice of God for whatever it is you need in this moment. And that is very, very much scriptural. When Jesus spoke to the enemy in the wilderness, he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." That particular word that he used in the original Greek that's translated, where there's several Greek words for the word, just like we know love, agape, phileo, and eros. But the word is the same. And the word Jesus uses there is a now word. I live by God's now word in my life that I need in this moment for what I'm facing and what I'm burdened by. Maybe I need direction. Maybe I need encouragement. Could anybody use a little encouragement today? Could anybody use a little strengthening in the inner man? This is what the power of God's word does, and that's what Hillary so eloquently taught us. And as we make him Lord and we open his word, seeking to hear from him, then the Holy Spirit is in action within us, making that word come alive and literally breathing his life on it. So I'm going to read this, not as slowly as you would do in a normal Lectio Divina, but as I read, just maybe a tad slower than a normal pace, would you underline any and every word or phrase or verse that speaks to you? Now, if that's new to you, because there's always new people visiting with us, and I don't know everybody anyway, let me put it to you this way. If you're not sure, well, I don't know. It's just words on a page, and yes, I understand it. But what do you like? What's the words you like? But some of you who have maybe walked with Jesus a little bit longer than others, you'll say, oh, he is speaking right to me right here. And as I read, again, you're going to underline what word, phrase, or sentence is speaking to you. And then I'm going to give you a few minutes afterwards alone with the Lord, just as we sit here, and write in the spaces what you think he is saying to you. What are you hearing from God today directly from his word? And this scripture, this passage out of John 15 is where we find the culmination of how to be a disciple of Jesus. And so you've got it right in front of you, and probably this is going to be the best part of this teaching time. So let me pray over you. And does everybody understand what you're doing? Let the Lord talk. Would you join me in prayer? Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you that you are in our midst. We sense your presence, and we know that your promise to always be with us. And Father, you specifically spoke that when we open your word up, we open the Bible up, there are gold nuggets for each one of us in that moment in our lives. And I ask, Father, that you would speak to every heart, even the most skeptical heart, something that would encourage or bring life or direction or a release of a burden today. Come, Holy Spirit, and move in our lives and speak directly to us. We ask these things in the power and majesty of Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, I know you guys don't have books or solid surfaces, but just do the best you can as I read this. John 15. This is Jesus talking. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it might bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. But if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Now abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Okay, now I'm going to give you a few minutes and go back. And what did the Lord speak to you specifically? Write that in the little spaces in between near to where you read. And again, if you're not sure, boy, I don't know if this was God or not, what were the parts you liked? What do you think he would say to you? And can I promise you, that's him talking. Let me give you a few minutes. It might be just one word. Give you one more minute. Okay, you guys. In this passage, we learn the essentials of discipleship, and they're really focused in on verses 7 and 8. So go ahead and look at that again. And they read, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? This ties all three of our previous lessons together. And the most prominent word in this, what would you say it is? It's abide. Now, that is a Greek word, meno. Let me read to you what it means in the original Greek as we translate it in English. It means to abide. It means to remain. It means to sojourn like a destination or a place. And that's why, remember, we had the picture up here of the gentleman like on a journey, because discipleship's a journey. But it's a going to a place, but it's also a remaining and staying. It means to tarry, to not depart from. That once you arrive at that destination, or when you're abiding in Jesus, that you're not so quickly removed from him. To continue to stay and to be present. Isn't that powerful? To be present in, to abide in Jesus is to be present in him. What is he up to? What is he doing? That's the power and work of the Holy Spirit. To endure and to wait. Now this, he uses the imagery of a vine, a grapevine. That's what I'm assuming here. I've always assumed that. And a beautiful vineyard. Well, I don't have any grapevines at home. I've got some kind of shrub or tree. And this is one that I just cut this morning. It has been abiding in its branch, right? It's been abiding in the main part of that trunk of that tree. But this little guy here, he's fallen off quite a long time ago. And it's such a visual. Isn't it amazing how Jesus always gives us these visuals? We can grasp them fully. If I stay in him, I will be fresh and flourishing. But if I don't, and I try to do life my own way, this is how I end up. And I wonder why I have dry seasons in my lifetime, sometimes in my life, and why God's voice seems so far away and hard to hear. He simply comes and asks us to abide. And when we abide, this is our first teaching that Randy taught us. This involves making him Lord. It means making a place of continual, intentional, daily surrender, and then staying there. To surrender fully, we give him every aspect of our lives. And when we are tested, when things go sideways on us, it means that we remain there in him instead of taking matters into our own hands. That surrender is a step of faith. I want to say, for most of my life, I was really good at surrendering. Does anybody know, Jesus, take this. You know, you have this difficult problem at work or in your family, your finances, your mental state, your soul. You know, you're having surrender. And then literally 5 minutes later, take it all back, all the worry, all the anxiety, all the trying to figure it out. Surrender says, I am making him Lord. And I'm going to stay there no matter what happens. And that we treasure his word so much that if you got a word today from the Lord, you stand on this every day this week. Then when you are tested, no, this is what he said to me. That's what it means to treasure his word in our hearts. Isn't that beautiful? It's not hard work. You don't have to be super spiritual. You don't have to be Christian for 10 years. You might not even know the Lord yet, but you can apply all this to your heart and your life. This is why Randy so eloquently taught us about when we follow him, it's a burden lifter. His burden is easy and his yoke is light. Do I want to be this or do I want to live like this? I've done both. Can anybody else say I've done both? Which one do I want to be? I'm in the last probably quarter of my life. I want to do this one. I want to be full out for him. I want his life so fully in me. Surrender is a statement of faith that God is good and he is fully trustworthy and he is my Lord. And then verse 7 talks about his word abiding in us. So you can see I'm mixing them all in. In the same way we are to abide in Jesus, the vine, his word must abide in us. Did you catch that? That means it has to become so much a part of our lives that it shapes our thoughts, brings wholeness to our emotions, and even heals our bodies. And one of the most valuable aspects of abiding and treasuring his word is that we will begin to know his will, and we will begin to pray according to his will and see more of our prayers answered. That's what it says right there. You abide in me, you're going to start seeing prayers answered. Because you're not praying from your instincts and what you think's best. You're starting to allow Holy Spirit. We talked about this a lot last week. He knows who and what to pray for and how to do it. And that's when we start to see more of our prayers answered. When we abide in his word and his word abides in us, we will be transformed and healed. And I want to read you, I want to go back though to where it says you about the prayer and praying according to his will. Did that make sense? When we abide in him, we start to have the heartbeat of Jesus in us. And it says in 1 John, you don't have to turn there, chapter 5, 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we have asked because we're praying according to his will. This is the thrill and the excitement of living the Christian life. This is what makes it so wonderful. And so much of my life, I felt like, where did that wonder go? And it was very much not staying in the vine and praying and doing all the Christian things. But if I didn't make him Lord and I stayed there, it made all the difference. Now, I want to go back to how I said the word in us really transforms us. And in verse 2 of John 15 that you have there, it says, he prunes us that we might bear more fruit. I just want to divert to that for a moment. Randy and I, when we lived up north by San Francisco, we lived our last home of the last 12 years in the church we pastored up there was considered the North Bay of the San Francisco Bay Area. And we lived in a town called Vallejo. The church that we pastored was in Fairfield, but right above Vallejo and right next to Fairfield was the beautiful Napa Valley, one of the most wonderful, beautiful vineyards, winemaking, sections of the whole country. And to drive through the wine country, it is spectacular all through all the seasons. And what I want to say is when God talks about pruning us. When I was a young Christian, I thought that meant he came out with his machete. Who had that visual? And just whacked off that selfishness and that greed and that critical spirit. You know, he just whacks it. You know what? A vintner, it's a little handheld cutter, little scissors. And those vineyards in the Napa Valley, they have been tended for decades. They are multi-million dollar pieces of property because of the care and the intentionality of those that own them to produce the best grapes that California has to offer that go around the world known. And those vintners, they don't come through with a machine. They walk down the lanes of vines and tenderly snip this so there might be more sun. Snip this dead piece so it doesn't suck up more than nutrients. That is an intentionality about your value to our Father, that when he comes along and says, baby girl, it's time to give that up. Or son, this is time to really get free of looking on your tablet at those images that are not helping you. I mean, I don't know. We all have our stuff. But that's what it means there. And it's with the tenderest of care. Now, where does the Holy Spirit come in all of this? We learned last week the Holy Spirit lives inside of us to work through our lives and give us the power we need to be a Jesus follower, to know God intimately, and to work the extraordinary, the extraordinary things through us in the name of Jesus. In other words, he reveals the Lord to us and through us. Now, if you think of him as, in this scenario, I always get this wrong, forgive me, the Father's the vine, Jesus the vine, and we're the branches. Think of the Holy Spirit as the water. What does water do? I actually Googled this. Think of him as the essential ingredient of water. What does water do in a natural plant? It germinates so that the seeds that we plant can grow. The Holy Spirit causes us to grow. It fills the plant cells and holds them upright. How many know you have a house plant at home? Marissa would know this, and it just weeps, you know, it just leans over. It's not had enough water. The Holy Spirit causes us to walk uprightly. It's the main ingredient for photosynthesis when the sun shines down. Think of that possibly as the Father's love. The water is what brings the nutrients up through the soil to cause the green and the flourishing of the plant. It moderates the temperature of the plant. It delivers those essential nutrients, and it supports the overall ecosystem. So how do we do this? How do we do this abiding? And this is where we're going to close. Now, I'm going to speak for my own life, because everybody has their own rhythm. And I know I am talking to people that have practiced walking in what we've been sharing today for many, many years. Please know that I'm not saying I have it down, that I'm trying to tell you something that you don't already know. But as I share for my own life, maybe you'll find your own rhythm of learning to make him Lord, treasure the word, and have the Holy Spirit be increased and released more and more in our lives. I think that's very important that we intentionally start our days in surrender and a fresh word from his word. This is just real practical stuff. That's going to look a little different for every one of us. But a verse that's really meant a lot to me is Psalm 5, verse 3, and if you're taking notes, but otherwise don't turn there. It says, my voice, Lord, you shall hear in the morning. This is Psalm 5, verse 3. In the morning, I will direct it to you, and I will look up. That's it. That's simple. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. I love how the Message translates this verse, and actually it's very literal to the translation. Every morning, you'll hear me at it again, Lord. Every morning, I lay out the pieces of my life on your altar, and I wait for fire to descend like a sacrifice of praise. I like that because it's been really real to me that when I come to the Lord in the morning, now I'm talking about 5 minutes of time. It doesn't take long. But where I literally, Lord, here's this child of mine, there's our finances, here's Vintage Faith Church while our pastors are on sabbatical, here's, you know, the list goes on. Probably about 5 or 6 things. This is my work. This is this. And then I sit back and say, you have it. That's surrender. That's making him Lord. And again, no matter what happens through the day or the week, I'm going to stay there that he's got it, right? If you hear nothing else today, I pray that's the main thing. And then in those next few moments, I'm usually reading straight through somewhere, but sometimes in my Bible, but sometimes the Holy Spirit leads me, I'll have an impression, I'm supposed to look for this verse, and I do, and it's exactly what I need. But more often than not, I'll be reading straight through the Bible. And if that's new to you, I want to encourage you, start with the Gospels, the stories of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then go through the Acts of the disciples and then the letters, if you need a beginning place. I'm not talking reading lengthy passages, but maybe 1 or 2 verses. What? But not just reading it like checkoff list, did my duty, you know. I used to guilt myself if I forgot to read my Bible for a day or two or a week or four. But what are you saying to me? That changes everything about how I read the Word of God. What is your word to me? A really wise woman once told me, just read until your heart's warmed. If you have a little bit longer time, just read until you sense that warmth of the Spirit. Can I tell you that has held me through every major crisis, especially in the last 20 years when I've started to really try to live this way and hear him speak. And then I go and I go about my day, whether it was work, I'm now retired. Can I tell you, there are seasons of life, right? The people that have it the hardest, I swear, as far as having a little bit of alone time, are those with small children, right? Because it's so unpredictable. But most of us, if you don't have children under 5, we kind of have a predictable routine, right? For the most part, there's always surprises. And what I want to say is there is seasons of life. And even when Randy and I was a young homemaker, and we were planting a pretty thriving, growing church. I was involved with the kids' school, and just the liveliness of them waking up and all that. I just want to tell you one quick story. I would grab my times with Jesus wherever I could, and I remember one evening I felt like, I want to get into his word. This is my one cute story out of the whole sermon. And you don't have to laugh because it's not ha-ha funny, okay? It's just sort of cute. And you just grab it where you can. And I was stirring this, I think I was making some kind of stew or soup. And we had this electric stove, and I have my Bible open, and I'm reading, and whatever I can get, I will take it. Lord, in doing that little bit of surrender, here I am, please speak to me. And then I realized somebody's barbecuing. And it smells so good. I thought, the window's open? Is it down the street? Wow, it must be some killer steak. And I'm stirring away, and soon I'm reading my Bible, and I see smokes rising from my Bible, and we had an electric stove, and I cooked my Bible. I had to go look for it. I'm sorry, that's my one story. And Randy, do you forgive me? I had to throw in a story. Okay. Can I encourage you, though, to catch time with Jesus when you can? But there is something powerful, and I'm being kind of strong here, about doing first thing in the morning. If that means 5 or 10 minutes earlier up, so you can get centered in Jesus. Surrender, lay down those pieces of your life, and get a fresh word from his word. It changes everything. It becomes not a have to, it becomes I can't live without it, because I can't live without him. And then there's always where we want to develop a secret place time, maybe once every 2 weeks or a month. We literally carve out a little more time, we get somebody to watch the kids. We get a Saturday morning or an evening. When is the best time to carve out these times alone where you might have a little extended time with Jesus? It's when you're at your best. Some of us are morning people. Some of us are evening people. I did a whole teaching on this about 9 months ago. I'm not going to repeat it. But a time where we just come and say, Holy Spirit, overwhelm my heart. And Lord, speak to me from your word where you have a little bit more time. And then he fills us. And why do we do this? Why does the Lord encourage us to abide, to surrender, to treasure his word, be filled with the Spirit? We find it all in verses 7, 8, and 9, and this is what we're going to close with. Let's go back. He said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. I don't know about you, but I want a fruitful life. By my last breath, I want to look back and say, Lord Jesus had his way through me, and it was so good. Let's continue. So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Verse 11, I say these things that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Would the worship team come back up? He writes it so that we would know joy. We would know that deep joy that cannot be shaken. And sometimes, and many times, let's put it this way, in Christian circles, we'll say joy is different from happy. Happy is fleeting. But joy is that solid rock. But can I tell you, you cannot have joy without some happy. And to be happy is a gift the world longs for. And if we find it solely in him, abiding in the vine, we have a treasure beyond compare, and we will have more than enough to give away. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. It's literally, like I see, in a sense, I see him walking the aisles, taking them from each person. Lord, we give them to you. And if it's not been our practice, could we try getting up just a little bit earlier, even if we're not a morning person and we need 10 cups of coffee to wake up, but to take the time each morning, and when we forget and when we oversleep, no guilt. We don't do guilt, because that doesn't get us anywhere. That's from the pit. But could we say, Lord, and intentionally, I surrender these things, my day, and you are Lord, and just open his word. What are you saying to me, God? And he might give you the same word for a month, but it's what you need to hear. And that thing is, that word is being hidden in our hearts and treasured. Holy Spirit, help us. Draw us close. Help us to abide. And when we want to step away, draw us back again quickly. We pray these things all together, Lord, in Jesus' name. Could we say amen? Amen. Could we go and be the church this week? Let's go be Jesus in the world. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy this beautiful weather. Bye online.